I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
We're finally into draft week.
And let's go Buffalo!
Mike Danger.
Look, I know I'm 12 years old, Gino. I have a very juvenile sense of humor. Farts are and will always be hilarious to me.
Gene Battaglia.
25% of the Buffalo Bills are for sale.
Danger, you want to put in a bid here, bud?
You've got the NFL draft, the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Let's go!
Isak Rosén makes it back-to-back just like that, and the Amerks lead it once more. It's 3-2.
The Rochester Amerks clinched the 2 seed in the North Division. They'll be facing off against Syracuse in the best-of-five series.
Amerks crunch Friday at 7.
Game 1.
Playoffs?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, folks.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
Scottie Scheffler, that's 4 victories in his last 5 starts and 10 over the last 26 months.
The Nighthawks also secured a spot in the NLL playoffs.
Score! 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Hey, good afternoon to you as we welcome you on into Rochester's only local sports talk show. It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Appreciate you listening at 95.7 FM, AM 950. We're in the free-to-download Odyssey app. When you search out The Fan Rochester, we've got a YouTube channel at The Fan Rochester. We're streaming on Twitch at The Fan Rochester. You can even get us on your smart device when you ask it to play. 95.7 The Fan. I'm Danger. That's Battaglia.
How are you, buddy? Best week of the sports calendar.
It's a great week ahead, a great weekend that was. I mean, look, the weather wasn't exactly cooperative. It could certainly be nicer for the end of April, but I'm not letting it deter me anymore, Gino. I've turned the corner. I'm in full-blown activation mode. There was no stopping me. When I got home on Friday, I didn't stop. I was constant. We were out in the rain on Friday morning doing our thing for our one thing, Earth Day volunteering thing at High Falls.
Yeah.
We're out there weeding and pulling, trimming shrubs and pulling weeds, and it's raining on us. And if you were here on Friday, you remember Gino got to go home, take a shower, clean up afterwards. I was just a filthy mess. I was like Pigpen from Peanuts. Cloud all around me. I got home and I didn't stop. I'm like, I'm getting on the lawnmower. I don't care that it rained all day. It was a sloppy slog. Ooh. It doesn't matter. I got the mow in. I took your advice. I went highest level on the deck because it was I thought I was going to need to go back there with a machete.
Yeah.
Got that done. And then I'm like, I'm not going to stop. Let's get to the garage. Started working the garage Saturday morning. Power washer. Is there anything more satisfying?
Oh, we've been over
this. The power washer.
Yeah.
When you do a good power washing and it gets everything up and out, oh, fantastic. Screens up on Saturday in the garage. So now I'm like, all right, now all I got to do is just finish cleaning this garage floor and I'm set. I'll be watching Stanley Cup playoff hockey by the time the weekend is up. We had a nice time Saturday night. We saw our friends from the B Morning Coffee Club at the Ronald McDonald House gala at the convention center, and then Sunday morning I got up and went right at it.
Wow. So this was full 72 hours of, if you start here with our volunteer project on Friday, everything.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I've got momentum now. Momentum is back. Momentum engaged.
I noticed you didn't say you were tuning in to hear lacrosse. For Greg and everybody else that wrote in said, yeah, Gene, you're doing a hell of a job with this considering.
Oh, I listened. It was cold on Saturday, bud.
The women won 19-6.
Uh-huh.
The men won 23-1.
Wow. And you're there to call all that action.
But listen anyways.
And you're out there freezing your couillons off.
Yeah. For the women, I'm like, yeah, we had a Yahtzee call.
Ah.
And I let everybody in on the secret here. So in Section 5 lacrosse, as well as Division 3 women's lacrosse, when you get to a certain goal number, the running clock. The running clock, it should be – everybody that has youth sports, by the way, you want the kids to have a little fun. But when it gets to – when they get a little older, right? You know, mercy rule, everything. You're all, you're secretly pulling for that. So the code
especially
is,
on a day like Saturday. It was cold on Saturday.
Yes. So the code is whenever we get the running clock, I call it
Yahtzee.
Yeah. You know, something that, you know, you would see in a Ron Burgundy movie. Like, let's come up with something cheesy. And you're just kind of like the wink, wink, nod, nod. We had the Yahtzee call for the women, but they don't do that for the men.
No.
But they did this. It was such a lopsided game. They shortened the halftime. Like, wait a second. Why are there only 5 minutes up on the clock? I'm like, Tim, we got to bring it back right now. But 5 minutes. 5 minute halftime.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was.
Kind of knew which direction that game was going.
Right.
Got you out of there, though. Yeah. Even last night. I mean, I'm, you know me, Mr. Delayed Gratification. I get all this work done. I'm out in the garage with the power washer on a cold Saturday. I can see my breath as I'm cleaning out the garage. I wake up Sunday. I'm scrubbing the floor. I'm getting this thing looking nice and neat and ready for the rest of the season. The screens are up. And all I'm saying to myself is I'm going to watch Stanley Cup playoff hockey tonight. I'm going to watch. And I don't have all the lawn furniture in the garage yet. So I just grab a folding chair. I grab, one of our outdoor chairs and I plop myself down and it's just me, my chair and my projector watching playoff hockey. And I am freezing, dude. I am cold out there last night. And I'm trying to get my family in on it. I'm like, come on, let's go. Let's not let the weather deter us from doing fun stuff. Let's get out of the house. Let's get out of the house and go to the garage. It's screened in and I got this. They thought I was a psycho. They thought I was crazy.
Yeah, I would have gone down the man cave. I don't think that yesterday. You feel satisfied, but.
Yeah, I made it 2/3 of the way through the Avs-Jets game. And then I'm like, all right, third period, I'll watch in the cave. It was probably a sad scene.
If you couldn't make it through three periods of that game outdoors, no game is going to keep you going. That game was A+.
It was fantastic. Night. I mean, just for anybody that questions why I and others say that the Stanley Cup playoffs are the best product in sport, like it's the best postseason in all of sport. Watch that game from last night between the Avs and the Jets. It was back and forth. It was entertaining. It was quick. It's almost like, again, if you're fed a steady diet of Sabres hockey and you watch something like that, you're like, oh my God, I forgot. This is what hockey is supposed to look like. Just ridiculous. And I kind of feel for the Avs. You got Hellebuck on a bad game. And you still couldn't get over. Gorgiev is going to be an issue for the Avs if they want to advance. We've got a great show lined up for you this afternoon here in the sports bar. It's draft week. I mean, we could talk about the local playoff berths for the Amerks. We could talk about the local playoff berths for the Nighthawks. That's exciting, but it's also draft week.
Yeah, and by the way, we're out Thursday and Friday. Thursday, our annual draft show. Where else? Three Heads Brewing, going to be a lot of fun out there. We'll tell you more details about that. And as well as Friday, we will be out this year at the Tap Room of Bill Gray's out in Chi-Lai. So make plans to join us at one or maybe both of our live events. So that means it's a short week for us here in the studio, but we will certainly be talking a lot of draft this week. our buddy Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports. I feel like we knew Chris way back when. He has completely blown up. CBSSports.com, we can read his latest mock. He has the Bills trading up here for a wide receiver. We'll get Chris's thoughts, not only on the Bills wide receivers, which one may be the best fit in this Buffalo offense, what's the perfect scenario, what if the Bills went defense and stayed put at 28, who would be the best option, and how many quarterbacks may go. A lot of questions for Chris Trapasso coming up in the 4 o'clock hour.
Yeah, and later on this hour, 13 WHAM Sports Director, BuffaloPlus.com, Mike Catalana will share his thoughts on the Bills and their needs here coming up on Thursday.
I also value Mike's opinion for where things are going, and it feels like there's a little bit of a story here, and we could talk about this, like in regards to, wait a second, Terry Pegula is putting up a quarter of the franchise for sale. What does this mean? Who may that be? What are the possibilities, the outcomes of the story? Maybe it's nothing, maybe it's something, but I'm curious to get Mike's thoughts here. Of course, we'll get his thoughts on what he'd like to see the Buffalo Bills do coming up on Thursday night, as well as Friday and Saturday. Mike Catalana, Buffalo Plus 13 WHAM coming up.
And you mentioned Three Heads, where we'll be on Thursday. Should also mention that Three Heads Brewing has Rochester's largest patio now open for the season. You can enjoy their Melon Head Watermelon Sour and all the other fine beers. You just grab delicious wood-fired pizza there from Freddy's as well. We'll be there Thursday, and then the Tap Room at Bill Gray's on Friday for our draft specials Thursday and Friday this week, days one and two of the NFL draft.
We can share a cold one and maybe a win or two.
You can join us at 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326. You can also write to us on Elon's Twitter. That's X at the Fan Rochester.
The table is set. And as you mentioned, just before we get into the Bills talk here, a little hat tip to both of our local teams. I mean, the Nighthawks went from playing in Grand Rapids or St. Louis or somewhere else to, no, that's not true. Oh, by the way, there's only a 3% chance they would make the postseason. And literally everything that needed to happen happened for the Amerks. That's a win on Friday, a win on Sunday, wins by San Diego, Toronto, and New York, who's going to be in Ottawa. It all happened.
Yeah. Yeah, everything broke their way, and from what we understand, a real electric atmosphere yesterday at the arena with everything on the line, and the Nighthawks didn't disappoint. They get the postseason berth. They're in the postseason for the second consecutive season, and they'll match up against Toronto this weekend.
Yeah, and I'm totally fine with the Amerks as a 2 seed. Gosh, that was a nice little game they had yesterday, winning in Utica, and Syracuse losing to Utica Saturday night. The Amerks will get the home ice against the Crunch. This is the series danger. I remember this. You want to say the NBA drags things up?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Like, if this goes five games, that's it. 15 days, yeah. Calendar days.
Yeah, I was going to say it's just over 2 weeks, yeah. 2 full weeks. Well, let's see. I mean, this has been the rivalry that we've had circled all season long. And when we talk tomorrow to Amerks head coach Seth Thapert, I'm sure he'll tell us a lot of what we've already heard about the Syracuse Crunch.
Well, they're heavy, yeah. And we got to make sure that we're not, sitting in the box and all that stuff. Right. Yeah.
Not going to be an easy task for the Amerks here in technically the second round. We'll call it the opening round for the Amerks with that getting underway Friday night at Blue Cross Arena.
Yeah, Cleveland got 6 of 6 points, so they're the top seed. I'm saying this honestly. I don't think it matters where the one or the two in this division, because Cleveland's going to have their hands full with whoever wins that Toronto Belleville situation. So May is going to be hopping here in Rochester with the Amerks.
Back to the Buffalo Bills, because one of our regulars, Chris, in South Central Kentucky. I'm with Gene Battaglia. I want to know what the icon, Mike Catalana, thoughts are on Pegula, what he's doing by selling a quarter share of the Bills, and if it counts towards someone's PSL. Gene, I don't know specifically what your take on this is, because I think it could be a variety of different things. But from where I stand, I feel like if you're Terry Pegula, this is one of two things. You're either trying to cover the cost of how much more the stadium is going to cost than you thought it was going to cost, or, hear me out on this, given the value of an NFL team in 2024, Terry Pegula, by asking somebody to buy a quarter share, is almost flush with what he paid for the Buffalo Bills originally.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes the story fascinating, because we really don't know the motive behind it, and I will listen to that. I would also point out this, and when this story broke up on Friday, like, okay, That's great. That's good. He needs like whatever he's going to use that cash for. He's in a different position. Name me things in the United States today that you're guaranteed a return on investment. Go.
NFL team. NFL team.
So what you're selling the 25% for now, what will the value of that 25% be in 10 years from now?
Right.
If you really want to set up generational wealth, this isn't something you're doing. This isn't something that you would... You see what I'm saying. It's like the person you're also bringing in, that's a whole other angle here. You would assume this is a silent partner. There are plenty of silent partners around the NFL. You don't know who they are. Tom Brady wants to be a silent partner, but he's going to be front-facing. Is this going to be somebody that we're going to learn a little bit more about, or is it just some venture capitalist that's just going to park it?
And yeah. I don't know what the exact rules are for allowing venture capitalists or who gets a seat at that table. I mean, the NFL does have a pretty powerful, I mean, Brady wants to be, he's not yet, right? He still isn't a part owner of the Raiders.
Now, why would that be? I think he still wants to play.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe the owners are just like, I don't know about that guy that's going to be calling games. He's in the media.
Yeah.
Does are we sure he's not going to come back? Right. Like, there's probably a lot of reasons why that hasn't yet been approved. But if you're somebody who has the wealth and has the interest in investing in an NFL team, yeah, a quarter of the Buffalo Bills might run you as much as $1.5 billion. What did the Bengals pay? $1.7 billion, something like that?
It was like $1.2 billion.
1.2?
Yeah, I think that was it. I mean, think about the return on investment there. If, like, I don't think the Bills would be valued at $4 billion, like, whatever these, but you could
get. If an NFL team is $6 billion, let's just make it a round number and say it's $6 billion. What's a quarter of that? Is it 1.?
Yeah, it would be 1.5.
1.5, right.
I went to Fordham.
Yes. So, well, I've got a 12th grade education, barely. So, yes, $1.5 billion. If it was a six, if the Bills are valued at $6 billion, and I think if the Bills went on sale, if the Pagula said, we're out, you could get $6 billion for the Buffalo Bills, knowing that you have a new stadium being built, everything that's going on.
No, knowing what franchises go for, I don't know if you would get six. Washington goes for that because that's the market. That's what you can charge for certain things. Still, the market size does matter a little bit.
I think you could get six.
There's another point to this I want to bring up, and that is, well, how did the stadium get built? Well, that's your tax dollars, folks, and that's also Erie County's tax dollars. But the Pagulas were putting in their share here, and their share was going to be recouped from the PSLs. And we've talked about the PSLs, but this is more speculation and maybe an anecdote. But follow me, Danger. I know of one Rochester business, season tickets, and they made the decision. And their employees, when they find out, are not going to be too happy here. And I'm not going to disclose who it is, but you just have to trust me on this one. PSL cost $15,000 per seat. Four seats. Okay. Where are you going to come up with $60,000 in the bud? They made the decision to go away. And I understand any business that says, we want this team here. We can't afford this. There's going to be a lot of individuals, but it's the corporate sponsorship that have to make these decisions. So is part of this in case this falls flat? Because this is so secret, this whole process in regard. And really, you could say it's none of our business. I would say, no, that's our tax dollars. It sure as hell is our business. What's going on with that? So how are PSL sales going? How?
Are we a walk-up town? Like, are people going to wait and hope that the price comes down?
Well, we're trained with that with the weather. I think I've learned that through 98 PXY Summer Jam and certain things like that. The weather kind of dictates that. But do we kind of carry that over to?
If you're waiting for there to be a discount for the PSLs, keep waiting. I don't think they're going to do that. And yeah, maybe that is part of it. I also think that the project of building the stadium, you might have over $500,000 $500 million, I should say, $600 million in overages as far as what it might actually cost when it's all said and done. The original project, $1.4 billion, and now rumblings that it could be a $2 billion project.
Shocking. Overages.
You knew it was gonna happen. So that money the Bills are on the hook for. That overage is something that the Bills and the Pegulas are on the hook for. And of course, they're going to try and find a way to offset that cost without it coming directly from their bank account. Look back to when the stadium talks originally started. It was a quote that Kim Pegula made that essentially, I think, you know, I'm going to paraphrase, but it was something to the effect of, we can't just write a check for $1.4 billion. And you hear that and you're like, well, sure you can. You're a billionaire.
Yeah.
And the reality is, yeah, they're a billionaire, but they don't necessarily have that kind of cash laying around. Their money is invested. Their money is tied up. And if you invest and if you have your money saved in different places, you know that if you're trying to evade taxes, if you're trying to avoid taxes, there are ways you can do that through investing, your 401k, et cetera, but you're also penalized like crazy if you try to touch that money. And I wonder how much of the Pegula's investments is tied up in a way that it wouldn't, the juice wouldn't be worth the squeeze because of how poorly or how much they would get taxed for trying to free up some of their cash.
Yeah, that's, we've all been there, Danger. Like, hey, I want to buy this house. Okay, we have to put down every dollar we can. And do I want to take that penalty? Do I want, yeah, they don't make things easy anywhere in particular this state.
And so if you're the Pegulas, again, I think what this really is about is less about, are they selling the team? They're not selling the team. This might be the first time you see other owners or the NFL actually welcome in a private equity fund as a partner. Most owners don't do that. They own it outright. But maybe this is an instance where the NFL allows those kind of investments to happen. They haven't really changed those rules. But I think one way or the other, Terry Pegula is going to get the money he wants for that quarter share of the team to either offset the cost of the stadium overages or recoup the money that he invested originally in buying the team for $1.7 billion or whatever it was when he first purchased the team. It was $1.7, right? That feels like the number.
Yeah.
Mike Catalana, 13WAM Sports and BuffaloPlus.com. joins us next. We'll talk a little bit more about this specifically, and we'll get into the Bills and Thursday's NFL draft.
I found that quote from Kim Pegula. This is 2018 from the Buffalo News. I don't even know if we can get there. I know fans in Buffalo don't want higher ticket prices. They don't want PSL.
She's right.
The state of New York doesn't want to give you any money. The city doesn't. We don't have $1.5 billion sitting around.
Right. I mean, they do, but it's not sitting around.
It's tied up.
And if you want to access that money, they're not going to give that money back to the government. No way. Would anybody want to? You know, there's a time and a place to access that money, and building a stadium is not what they would deem an appropriate time nor place. So yeah, I remember that quote, and that makes me wonder if that's what this is all about. I think it is. Well, let's see what Catalana has to say. He joins us next. You're welcome to join us anytime this afternoon on the Sports Bar. 585-866-4FAN is our phone number. 866-4326.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Time to the postseason for both the Amherst and the Nighthawks. First for the Amherst, Rochester hosting Syracuse in the best of five. Game one Friday, game two Sunday afternoon, the Blue Cross Arena. The Nighthawks will be up in Toronto coming up on Saturday. In the NFL today, the Jets trading quarterback Zach Wilson. He goes to the Denver Broncos. Denver giving up a couple of late round picks in return. We'll talk some Buffalo Bills football coming up next. 13 Wham's Mike Catalana joining us in the sports bar. The Yankees and the Oakland A's, they are scoreless in the ninth inning down at the stadium. Yankee manager Aaron Boone tossed in the first inning of this game. Rochester Red Wings are off tonight. They begin a series tomorrow in St. Paul, Minnesota. Three games in the NBA tonight, including the Knicks and Sixers at MSG. New York up one game to none. Gene Battaglia on the sports leader. The Fan Rochester.
Straight up with no chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Draft week in the sports bar. Looking forward to Thursday. Looking forward to this weekend. See what comes out of it for the Buffalo Bills. And we'll talk plenty of NFL draft with our next guest, 13 Wham Sports Director and BuffaloPlus.com's Mike Catalana stopping by the sports bar. Mike, before we get into the deep into the weeds here with the Bills, their needs, and what they might do come this weekend, we got to talk about this story out of Buffalo with the Pegulas putting up 25%, up to 25% or more, around 25% of the Buffalo Bills. What do you think this is all about?
You know, I wish I could do that. I wish I could. It's basically a home equity loan. You don't have to pay back. Mm-hmm. And then when your house is worth more, you just sell it and they get a little piece of it and you get more. Well, right now they're looking into it. They don't have it done yet. They haven't. Obviously, they don't have minority, you know, owners. But I think you're going to see more and more of this in the NFL. If I was the Pegulas, I'd be doing it. They're on the hook for the extra money on the stadium overruns. I think they know it's going to happen. And maybe it is somebody who comes in at this point and eventually, depending on what happens with the Pegula family, if it's somebody who wants to buy the team, that it's an easier transition. Doesn't surprise me. And look at the value of the franchise. What are they saying now? The Bills could be up to like $4 billion and they bought them for 1.35 or whatever it ended up being. The money is silly money. And now they can basically, I mean, think about what they can do. They can get somebody to give them close to $1 billion for 25% of the team, maintain control, take care of all their cost overruns, and maybe it's at some point a future owner of the team. So it doesn't surprise me. Like I said, the whole ownership model could be changing eventually in the NFL as the prices keep going up and up. But it really doesn't surprise me that they're looking to do this.
Yeah, for whatever reason, Pegula's looking maybe to get a little more liquid here, as they say, Mike, because we did have the report from Tim Graham after there were some things online saying, oh my gosh, everything's for sale. And okay, he said no, but if somebody wanted the Nighthawks, they could have the Nighthawks. How would you kind of take this here for the future of the Nighthawks in Rochester, Mike?
It's kind of a strange situation. I mean, they sort of did it. I think Tim alluded to this in his article as sort of a favor to the league. I mean, they already own the Bandits, and it's an odd circumstance. You know, you've seen where they're not going to be running the Blue Cross Arena anymore. Honestly, in the big picture for the Pegulas, not disrespectful to the Nighthawks, but they are pretty far down the list for them. So, you know, if the franchise was going to stay in Rochester and get an owner for here, that would be great. We don't know what the future is going to be for the franchise. Obviously, they just clinched a playoff spot and love to see them do well this year. But I think it does put the franchise's future pretty much in jeopardy, at least in Rochester, with you know, obviously a potential change in ownership and maybe a change in location.
Would there, I mean, look, we're going to go deeper down the rabbit hole than we probably can here, but I just think to lose that organization again, I would hate to see it, especially given what they've been able to build here from their expansion days. In order to keep it in Rochester, is it a prerequisite that you have to have somebody in our area who has a bond with this team or just a bond with Rochester? Because when the Pegulas bought this team, it sure felt like and sounded like they were doing this almost out of charity.
Yeah. I don't know if you necessarily have to have somebody from here because you have an arena to play in, you have a fan base, you have a history with the franchise. If somebody wants to get into the league, there's worse places you can be than Rochester with the Nighthawks, right? So I don't know. Honestly, I think there's reason to be concerned based on the things I've heard about their future. But I don't think necessarily it has to be a local owner to do it because it's a viable place to have an NL franchise or to have the Nighthawks as a franchise. And we'll just see where it goes from here. But in terms of, I mean, listen, when you're the Pegulas and you're building a stadium, you have the Bills. Right now you have the Sabres and the Amherst. I just think, and already having the Bandits, I think it just, the priority just drops when it comes to the Nighthawks.
We're talking to 13 Wham's Mike Catalana. As Mike, we've read the mocks, we've done the mocks, we've kind of absorbed everything. What's the likelihood that Brandon Bean actually may get a receiver and just sit there and let the draft, as they say, come to him at 28?
His history shows he's not sitting there. I just don't think he is. I think if he's got somebody in his mind, he's got to work out a deal to move up. I like him trying to get Brian Thomas. I think he'd be a great fit for them. You know, it's easy to say, sit there and wait and then take the guy. But look, I was up there the other day when he said, you know, we don't have a glaring hole at wide receiver.
Yeah.
They do. Yeah. I mean, come on. Like, who are we kidding?
Yeah.
I mean, look at who they have right now. I mean, okay. I like Curtis Samuel as a player. I think he'll be better with a very good quarterback. Doesn't mean he's going to be a star, but he'll be better. I think he can do a lot of things. Khalil Shakir has become a solid player that you hope has a bigger future. But we sat and waited for Gabe Davis to be that guy to move up the ranks, and he never did. And that doesn't mean Shakir's not going to move up. I'm saying is he hasn't been put in that position. Who else do you have? Who do you have? Mac Hollins? Like, there's no one there. I mean, there just isn't. So they are in desperate need. I think they need to draft at least one, if not two, and maybe sign another veteran. I mean, they are. Let me ask you guys this. Where are they right now in terms of wide receiver rooms? And I know everybody loves Kincaid as a tight end, and I think he can be really good.
Yeah.
But strictly wide receiver, I think they're certainly bottom third in the NFL,
no
without
question.
Any question, right?
Yeah. I think, though, here's the counterpoint to that. And I'm not saying that I think they're not going to go wide receiver in the first round. It feels like that's what they would do, and it feels like Brandon Bean would be aggressive and go up and get it. That's what history has shown. But he did invest a first rounder in a pass catcher last year in Dalton Kincaid. And you could look at that wide receiver room. You could also look at your pass rushers and your edge rushers and say, yeah, we have a pretty glaring need here as well, unless we really think that AJ Epineza is going to become this like constant, or we're going to get something out of Von Miller at this stage of his career. Is there a case to be made for taking a beast of a pass rusher that might be available to you there in round one?
Yeah. Well, look, I guess there's a case to be made if you believe you can do something in the second round at wide receiver. But what I'm saying is, look, you can say this. You have Greg Rousseau. You have Ed Oliver in the middle. You do have AJ Epinesa, who has at least been a decent player for him. And their hope is that, it's a big hope, but that Von Miller comes back to some level. Plus, I think you're back on the veteran train looking for another player. It always happens after the draft. Teams either decide to move on from players, their players become free agents on the defensive line. Someone will be out there. I think at wide receiver, it's glaring. And if you're sitting there, say you pick, let's just say you take, you know, Chop Robinson, I don't know, whoever you want to say as your defensive end, because you need one. Well, it's also admitting, we've talked about this, the amount of resources that Bean has used at defensive end. is almost alarming that you're still in that spot looking for one in this draft. And maybe you take one, you know, later. But are you waiting until 60 to get a wide receiver? And it's easy to say, oh, the draft is deep. It's not that deep. I mean, you are, honestly, we always try to label the wide receivers as the 1, 2, and 3. And sometimes it's pretty easy to figure that out. You need a 1 and maybe a 2 with this roster. The way I look at it is you're either hoping Curtis Samuel advances or Shakir advances. But, like, you know, you look at it, Curtis Samuel has more catches than the rest of the wide receiver room put together. And Curtis Samuel isn't even among the top 50 active players in catches or yards. So, you know, Stephon Diggs had 160 targets. Everybody likes to rip on Diggs now because he's gone. But, I mean, if Stephon Diggs was coming to the Bills now, he's obviously still your unquestioned number one receiver, at least for this year. So I think there's a need at defensive end, but, man, there is a much bigger need at the moment to wide receiver.
Mike Hanlon, 13 Wham, Buffalo Plus is our guest. I know one guy who might want a wide receiver, and coming from the media talks last Thursday, Mike, I had never heard the story that Josh Allen had actually texted Brandon Bean and said, hey, Kincaid's the guy I want, and ends up with Kincaid. And I kind of like that, Mike. I mean, that to me is also a storyline here that Josh Allen, how much more can he take? Can he be as a leader on this team and be a little more assertive? And if he's going to, you know, Texas GM, you know, on draft night, take this or that wide receiver, I'm totally fine with that.
I think the way that worked out is Bean said, this is a guy we're interested in. He looked at some Dalton Kincaid and then said, Dalton Kincaid's the guy to pick. I mean, he even admitted, like, hey, you know, he's not sitting in meetings with guys and running through what they know about the offense and all. Josh is going to have an opinion. But to your point of wanting help, I mean, come on. This is why I asked Bean at the news conference, what was Josh's reaction? You know, you can say what you want that Josh isn't in on all these receivers and knows exactly what they're like. But he certainly knew what Diggs was like. And Bean's answer to me was, I'm going to keep that between me and Josh. I don't think he was pounding the table saying you got to keep Diggs. But there's one thing to say in March, we're trading Stephon Diggs. Okay, good. He's out. We're going to change. But that's with the presumption that you're going to fix it. You're going to add players. And I think hopefully the conversations with Josh Allen were about the plan to fix it and to be aggressive in getting help for him at the wide receiver position. So, yes, I think he has some ideas, but I think I think Allen is going to have the confidence that Bean's going to do what he told him. He doesn't have to run it by Josh and say, do you care if we do this? But I think when he tells him we're trading Diggs, he also tells him we have a plan to go get you help. And that's what I think he's going to expect him to do.
And Mike, with what we heard from Allen last week, the first time we heard from him since the Diggs trade, do you get the sense like I do that now with Diggs no longer in the locker room, that this is Josh Allen's the alpha, he's the leader, he's the vocal guy. And with that, do you think we'll see, and maybe it's not in his character, but man, I wish I would just, the word I use is mattable. I just want to see Josh Allen maybe get a little mattable, not the antics that we saw with Diggs, but just a little bit more in guys' faces when they clearly screw something up.
I love that you said that. And I used to think, like, Josh is an alpha, but he's not that alpha. He's not even, not the Tom Brady alpha or Aaron Rodgers alpha. You know, that kind of guy who's yelling at guys, and maybe even not Rodgers as much, but sort of has that vibe to him. But for whatever reason, I always felt like Allen wanted to make Diggs happy. Allen wanted Diggs' approval. I know that sounds like I'm psychoanalyzing, but I'm just talking about just the way they played and 160 targets or whatever it was last year. Like, we're going to keep, and I do think this frees Josh up. Now, it's great to be freed up, but you still need guys that'll make plays. It's nice to say, okay, we're moving on from Diggs and it's going to be different. But to your point, I also want to seem on the guy on the sidelines when he runs the wrong route or in practice or wherever it is. Like, they need to be accountable to him Well, that he doesn't have to be an ass to do this, but the players need to be accountable to him. And I think there's an element of Josh that's going to come out this year. I hope that's what it is. I hope that they're a little afraid of him, right? They're a little like, I let my guy down. I mean, saying it afterward is one thing, not letting it happen again. Look at how many times Gabe Davis and he were on the wrong page.
Right.
It's ridiculous for a guy that had been around that long. They were saying, Josh, my guy. Well, if he's your guy, run the right route. Make the right play. So, yes, I want to see that. I said, I want to see Josh be, doesn't have to be like yelling and screaming as a leader, but let him know who the boss is. And I think with the right guys in there, they walk into the room now going, I'm playing with Josh freaking Allen, and I'm not going to let him down. And that's what I want to see. I want to see him demand that from his players in whatever way he's comfortable doing that.
Mike, could you talk yourself into thinking that any of these guys that we've been, you know, kind of looking at, that any one of them would actually be a fit in this Bills offense, kind of taking it from the standpoint that it's actually the quarterback that makes the wide receiver? Like, what are your thoughts on these guys?
I don't buy all that.
No?
I don't buy that it's always the quarterback that makes. Listen, you got certain routes to run. They do not have a guy to stand on the outside and pressure the defense. They just don't. They don't have. That's not Curtis Samuel's way to play. They don't have that guy. Who is the outside? Who is that guy? The boundary receiver. They don't have him. He needs that. Josh needs that. That's great that Kincaid catches the ball. It's great that Curtis Samuel can do different things. It's great that every time you seem to throw the ball to Shakir, he catches it. But you need that guy. Somebody's got to play that role for you. And I'm not saying Josh can't make them better, because he will get the ball to people. But there's a point where, like, you know, it's like having guys around LeBron James. But you need guys that make shots. Like, he does need guys that will do as well as he can play. He needs guys that will do it. So I don't think just anybody. Like, I look at a guy like Worthy from Texas, mm-hmm. speedster, can fly. Great to have a guy like that on the team, but I don't know if that's the right fit for them. Or Ladd McConkey. I think he's going to be a really good player in the league, but I don't know if he's what you need based on the current room. Now, look, if you're drafting in the first round, you got to draft the best possible guy, but that's why I keep going back. Hey, listen, if I had it my way, Dangerous Bears would be trading the ninth pick to the Bills.
Be great for the Bills.
Adunze would be coming to Buffalo. Because I think he would be perfect for Allen in this offense.
Agreed.
So 100%. can you work on that? I got polls. We can call polls.
Let's call them together. I mean, he needs draft picks. Let's face it. He needs some picks.
But,
Bills
by
have
the
plenty.
Way, do they need draft picks? Because I was thinking of it. They don't have the later picks. This draft is considered not the deepest once you get to the fourth, fifth round, just by the way, the type of player who's come out. If I'm the Bears, I don't know. I mean, it's not, they need players, but there's a lot of people around the league that think it's not that big a difference between maybe guys you get in the sixth and seventh round that you would have gotten as free agents. So we'll see. But I think the hard thing is you're at 28. You're at 28. I think one thing you can dangle in front of people is either next year's one or even that Minnesota pick that they got for Diggs. In the second round, that's going to be a pretty valuable pick that they could deal for next year. I think there's maybe more value there. 28 is just not a great spot to be at. But yeah, if you ask me, my guy I want, honestly, I think I would take him over Neighbors for the Bills. I think Harrison's going to be great. But I mean, the other option is to try to trade with either Cincinnati or San Francisco for either Higgins or Ayuk. I don't know if any of that will come to play, you know, in the draft, but Adunze would be the guy I would want, but I don't know if they can get him.
Mike, from what we heard from Brandon Bean and what we've heard really since Bean and McDermott kind of took over this franchise, do they still have a type? We've always heard separation guy. You're talking about guy, you know, needing a guy on the boundary, a guy on the outside who can kind of do it all. And Bean talked a little bit about that last week in terms of what they're going to be looking for, what they are looking for in a wide receiver. Is it strictly about the ability to separate? Is it about the size and the ability to go up and get it, or is it a combination of all of it? And that's the guy that you get to replace a talent, a star like Steph Diggs.
Yeah, I think when you leave yourself as vulnerable as they are right now, I do think there's a certain part that there is, to me, it's a glaring need. It's not necessarily always size. You know, it's funny because Beans talked about it, other guys have talked about it. You know, you have a guy like Steve Smith was 5'9", 5'10", and played like he was 6'4", right? It's just, there's just players like that. But I think it's the traits that a player has. And I think, I mean, there is certain physical traits. Now, listen, they also need the guy to be able to handle the playbook, understand it, be able to step in and play. Doesn't mean they're going to be perfect right away, but be able to do that. So I think that always comes into play. But right now, I do think, like I said, I think it's a glaring need for that type of player on the outside. And I think in terms of the wide receivers, I think that's what they would prioritize is a size player that can play on the outside. And I, you know, again, 6 feet, 6'1", 6'2", you know, just get it, Dunze here. That's all we need. That's all we need.
Mike, you did have the report, first report about the training camp. We're still waiting on the official word on that. There was also this story from last week that the PGA Championship, because we call like, hey, that was really fun, we want to have another one here in Rochester. They awarded one for 2031.
Yeah.
Where, you've got contacts over there at Oak Hill. I mean, is are we still in line if, you know, the Oak Hill wants it to get another PGA Championship in 2033?
Yeah, I mean, this one was just taken care of for 31. I will tell you this, from what I was told too, like the negotiations between the PGA of America and Oak Hill and in turn Rochester, Monroe County have changed a bit. In general, just the way these tournaments have gone, the size of the tournaments, the footprint, what they want, what they expect. I think in the past, you'll be quite honest, I think more the PGA would pick the club, they'd make a deal and then come in. I think it's going to be different now. I think they hold the keys here a little bit. I think they go to a town or a community and a country club and say, what can you do for us? And so I think those conversations will continue. Look, it would make sense for 33, right? You had 03, 13, 23, 33. They have the U.S. Amateur coming in 27. That's not a PGA of America event. That's USGA, which is the U.S. Open track. And I don't know if Rochester has any shot of that at Oak Hill. I still think it's on the table, but keeping in mind that they are, you know, they've just now given the 31 to a country club and to a town, that there's a little bit of time before they're, you know, where they feel the need to make a move quickly. And Oak Hill is built for that tournament. I mean, they did all that work, phenomenal changes. So I think Oak Hill would be ready. I think people there are very hopeful, but you know, you'll see they're at Valhalla coming up in May. We'll see, but I'm still pretty hopeful that Oak Hill will get it to come back one more time.
Mike, quick check on your Sixers for tonight. Down 0-1 to the Knicks. How's Embiid feeling? What are we hearing?
He was at the shoot around today. Look, honestly, when I saw him go down the other day, I saw more fear than injury in him. Because I think he's sitting down there going, did I just do this again? And then he comes off and then he, you know, got it checked out and he came back out. Look, he's playing through the recovery from knee surgery. And he was dominant for the first half and he did not play as well in the second half. In the third quarter did, not in the fourth. He's not 100%. Now, Maxi missed the shoot around today with illness. Not ideal. I think he'll play. Unless he's really, really sick, I think he'll play. I think the Knicks are not a great matchup for them, but they could have, if not should have, won the game the other night. Knicks hit some big shots down the stretch. They run a bunch of guys, and they crash the boards. If the Sixers can do a decent job on the boards, they certainly can win. But the Knicks are tough. Yeah. They're a tough team. They're well coached. They play hard. And, you know, the guys made shots down the stretch. I mean, so that made it tough the other night. So we'll see tonight. Obviously, it's a huge game. I had said last week, I thought this series was going to end up being 2-2 after the four games. If I was guessing, I thought lose game one, win game two, win game three, lose game four, and go back to the Garden 2-2. So I'll stick with that's what it'll end up being. But heck of a series, and and we'll see what happens tonight.
Mike, last one for me, and it's about the Amherst. Certainly a lot of people are going to be excited about this, and it was good to see that big crowd on Friday. Yes. We had Dan Fates on last week. I'll ask you the same question I asked him. What do you think, is this year's Amherst roster actually better than last year's, the one that made it all the way to the semifinal?
You know, it could be. Remember, they didn't get off to the best start, and then they got going. You just never know, right? Like Syracuse did not look good down the stretch. The Amherst played really well, but you never know what happens in a playoff series. And these five-game series, well, in their case, it was down and then back, and they won it. I just think the way Appert coaches this team, the way they respond, the way Levi is playing, I think they're going to be a tough out for anybody. And you know, you saw how bunched up the division was. So it you could still be really good and get knocked out. I mean, it could have happened last year. But, you know, it's funny how we went from the point of saying, oh, God, could they just win a series? Could they do something? Now it's getting to be almost like the old days where we expect it because they've done it. And I like the talent. I like the roster. I like the mix of players. And right now I like the goaltending. And so this would be fun to see. You know, we've seen Ryan Miller do it. We've seen Marty Baron do it. Let's see a goalie get a chance to make a little run, show what he can do in a playoff series when it's all on your back. And, you know, I think the team 2 years ago with goaltending could have gone pretty far too. So, you know, it's funny. I have faith in the culture that they've built there, that they're going to do well. But, you know, it's hard to predict sometimes when the teams are as tight as they were in the North Division this year.
Mike, what are we expecting here this week with your draft coverage at 13 Web Sports and, of course, BuffaloPlus.com?
Yeah, we're going right in now to record our latest podcast. One of the things we're talking about for the YouTube channel is what we want the Bills to do, what we think they'll do. And then we're going to talk a little bit about in terms of where they are roster-wise now, you know, some of the stuff we just talked about. And we're also going to, well, I mean, God, this massive deal that just happened with Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I know.
That quarterback room. I mean, think about that quarterback room with Jared Stidham, Ben DiNucci, and Zach Wilson. I mean,
yeah.
How do you pick a starter out of that
group? Don't worry, Mike. They got brand new uniforms to distract the fans about how bad they are.
Seriously. I mean, listen, I get the idea of the uniforms. You want to put them out there, but like, I mean, come on, you bring in, that is a poorly run organization. Pay a fortune for a coach, pay a fortune for a quarterback before you get the coach. He doesn't like the quarterback. Get rid of him, pay millions of dollars. You have nobody. If ever a team should be tanking on a year, it's probably the Broncos. But who knows what they'll do? They're sitting there at 12, which honestly, if they were smart, maybe they're trading back and trying to get some extra picks if they're not going to take a quarterback. But so maybe that's a target for the Bills. But yes, that's what we'll be talking about. And we'll have coverage all week long. And then the night, you know, after each round of the draft, and it'll all be on the YouTube channel for Buffalo Plus.
Sounds good, Mike. It's good to not be talking baseball with you. We'll catch up after the draft.
This is a new Gene Battaglia here.
So it's nice for you now. What have you bought? Any extra, you know, jerseys or put up some little pennants, or do you have a little helmet? Like, you must be really excited that they won a few games.
Mike, it's April 22nd. It's April 22nd. I'm telling you, you don't believe me. Danger doesn't believe me. This is the new me.
It's bad for the show. I don't like it.
So what's the new you that you're just realistic to know that it'll fall apart?
No, everything will go fine. I'm just going to savor it more. When it happens, I'm just keeping my mouth shut is going to be my new MO. Because I think about how I harmed our relationship when I got off the rails
You enhanced it. You enhanced it. And by the way, we are the ones savoring this. Because while you say this, we know you're sitting there going, oh my God, we won six in a row. Look at it. And by the way, isn't it funny you won six in a row and didn't gain any ground on the other two teams, which is hilarious. But yeah, Phillies haven't even started hitting yet, and their pitching has been so dominant. But, you know, it's April, you know.
Yeah.
We get excited in September and October. You know, that baseball still goes on in those months.
Mike, I'm going to be the same kind of level-headed person May, June, July, August. You're not going to see me get all giddy. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, fellas.
Appreciate you, buddy. Mike Catalana, 13 Web Sports, BuffaloPlus.com. I'm proud of you, Gino. You haven't cracked. Everybody's egging you on, myself included. You're even keeled. Something's going to happen. I don't know what it's going
to
be.
They gave up 10 runs to the Dodgers yesterday.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Something will happen, but the Dodgers, by the way, again, kind of a weird start for them for as much hype was around that team. But it is April.
The story, too. I should pass this on real quick, and I know we're late here, Danger, but the Yankees lost to Oakland 2-0. I sent you this video of Aaron Boone getting tossed. A fan in the... You know, you could tell by Boone's reaction. He gets tossed. He has no idea. Wendell Statt, the umpire, throwing Boone out for what a fan said, thinking it was Boone actually yelling at him, but it was actually a fan. And, well, kind of your latest in the ump show.
Oh, boy. Was it Angel? It wasn't Angel Hernandez.
No, this was Wendell Statt.
Oh, Wendell Statt. All right. We'll take a break and come back. We've got some takes on tap with Aldrin to that. We'll talk some more NFL draft with our buddy Chris Trapasso. He's going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour as well. Your phone calls always welcome at 866-4FAN 585-866-4326.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.